This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Hi there. Sheila Hamill here bringing you New Day Dawning. Thanks for tuning in again this Sunday. I hope it's becoming a habit. We've got some lovely songs for you on today's programme and a set reading from Scripture which our churches also use each Sunday. Our theme today touches on the subject of prejudice. Now, I nearly always include a song by Stuart Townend each week. He seems to have a song on every theme and they always speak to me. In this song of his, we join with all the angels in heaven and all the saints and martyrs whose suffering is no more, to worship Jesus, the Lamb upon the throne, and all look forward to a time when fear and hatred and death are no more. Listen out for a moment of free praise towards the end, and just join in and let go, because words can sometimes just get in the way. This song is called Singing Hallelujah.
Join the song of the angels round the throne, giving worship to the one who lived and died and lives forevermore. All unite with the saints who fought the fight, resting now in heaven's light, where beauty dwells and suffering is no more. Now their suffering is no more. Singing hallelujah, glory to the Savior. Singing hallelujah to the Lamb.
It was a beautiful hymn of praise there, just like being in heaven. Words can get in the way, but they are necessary. As we'll find in today's reading, when a woman speaks out on behalf of her daughter who was ill. But let's set the scene first. Jesus has just reached a place called Tyre, which was a natural harbour and fortress, also a city of Phoenicia, part of Syria. So he and his disciples were now in non-Jewish territory, in a place where they would be rubbing shoulders with Gentiles, which is the word for someone who wasn't a Jew. And they, as Jews, were not supposed to have contact with such people according to the law. Let's hear what happens there in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, beginning to read at verse 24. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. It's strange, isn't it? The traditions of men which keep us all apart from one another and prevent us from mingling and discovering beautiful friendships. And I'm not just talking about the difference between Jew and Gentile here. So many divisions exist still today. Love and only love can join tribes together. Only love can build a bridge. Here's a song with that title, sung by Cher, Chrissy Hynde and Nina Cherry. And listen out for Eric Clapton on guitar.
I'd gladly walk across the desert with no shoes upon my feet to share with you the last bite of bread I had to eat. I would swim out to save you in your sea of broken dreams. When all your hopes are sinking, let me show you what love means. Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. Don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time?
In this gospel, we hear how a Gentile woman, a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia, broke through that cordon of division and separation in her need. How difficult would that have been for a man, never mind a woman, but her compassion for her sick daughter gave her the courage to try. How did she enter that room, I wonder, where Jesus was, with his followers all round him looking on? Did she come in fear and trepidation? Did she even expect to be heard or even allowed in? Had she all but given up? Perhaps Jesus was her last hope, her only hope. One psalm in the Bible, Psalm 88, once fascinated me when I read it, where the writer of the psalm had almost given up on God. He doesn't expect answers, and every line spells out sadness. But there's a golden thread here if we look for it, because the writer is still in communication with God. He's still managing to speak to him. He hangs on by that thread to faith. So I'm going to read out to you Psalm 88. And the backing music to this psalm is Adagio for Strings, composed by John Morris for the movie The Elephant Man, the true story of Joseph Merrick. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I'm confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you every day. I spread out my hands to you. I realize that there will be some patients listening today, and perhaps other listeners, who can completely identify with the despair expressed here. But the lesson here is don't give up. Keep looking to God. Keep praying. And fix your hope upon him. In this story, we see that the woman is allowed to approach Jesus. She's not prevented from doing so. And she falls humbly at his feet. And we will not be turned away either when we come in our need. The King James Version of the Bible puts it this way for us, should we too want to come humbly to Jesus with our own requests. I read this sentence a couple of weeks ago from John 6:37, and it says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." As we pray and make those requests, let's listen to "At Your Feet We Fall," with lyrics by David Fillingham.
At your feet we fall, mighty risen Lord, as we come before your throne to worship you. By your Spirit's power, you now draw our hearts, and we hear your voice in triumph ringing clear.
I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore.
And there we see you stand, mighty risen Lord, clothed in garments pure and holy, shining bright. Eyes of flashing fire, feet like burning bronze, and the sound of many waters is your voice. In its noonday strength, we now see the glory of your wondrous face. Once that face was marred, but now you're glorified, and your words like a two-edged sword have mighty power.
That liveth and was dead.
As the woman makes her requests, Jesus gives an answer which may, at face value, have shocked us. He says to her, "First let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." What is Jesus really saying here? And can we see beyond his words to a hidden meaning? Firstly, some people think that Jesus was saying that his message was meant for the Jewish people first, the Gentile turn would come in time, and now was not quite the time. Secondly, some scholars say that the actual word Jesus uses for dog here is not a street mongrel, but a puppy dog, a lap dog, an endearment, and that Jesus was pleased to see her. Thirdly, it's thought that Jesus was saying this to challenge the prejudice of his own disciples. I'm quite certain Jesus was not being prejudiced here. Looking at evidence elsewhere, a Gentile was the good guy in Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan. He healed the servant of a Gentile, a Roman centurion, and Jesus welcomed and healed many waifs and strays and outcasts, those whom others shut out as unclean. So I tend towards the third explanation, that he was trying to challenge his followers, saying in effect, "I must bring salvation to everyone, including those you think of as unclean." Here's a lovely chorus from a song by Alison Krauss, which we'll hear in a moment. This is the chorus. "Well, I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul, how he brought salvation and he made me whole. But I found I couldn't hide such a love as Jesus did impart. Well, he made me laugh and he made me cry, set my sinful soul on fire." Have you got the title yet? It's "When God Dips His Love in My Heart."
When God dips his love in my heart. When God dips his pen of love in my heart. And he writes my soul a message he wants me to know. His spirit all divine fills a sinful soul of mine. When God dips his love in my heart. Well, I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul, how he brought salvation and he made me whole. But I found I couldn't hide such love as Jesus did impart.
If God has really touched our lives, there's no room at all for prejudice of any kind. Jesus led the way for us to follow, yet many of us still see the need to throw the rule book at people out of a sense of religious duty before we've opened our arms to them in the name of Jesus and listened to their story. Jesus wanted to demonstrate his great love through us for every man and woman. He is a saviour for all who seek him. I found a lovely story recently about Jesus being a saviour for all, regardless of creed, colour or race. It was about a missionary working on the east coast of Africa who was once approached by a little African boy who asked him, "Was Jesus a white man or a black man?" The missionary thought carefully and remembered that Jesus had lived in the Middle East in a very hot country, so he replied to him, "No, Jesus was not a white man or a black man, but sort of between the two. He was kind of brown." The little boy's face began to beam. "Oh, then he belongs to both of us, doesn't he?" said the boy with delight. This story reminds me of a famous song by Paul McCartney called "Ebony and Ivory," which he sang with Stevie Wonder, which was all about racial equality, using piano keys as a metaphor. But the song is also about the unity of all people. And it says this: "We all know that people are the same wherever we go. There is good and bad in everyone. We learn to live when we learn to give each other what we need to survive."
Ebony and ivory live together in perfect harmony, side by side on my piano keyboard. Oh Lord, why?
give each other what we need to survive. Together alive, ebony and ivory, live together in perfect harmony, side by side on my piano keyboard. Oh Lord, why don't we?
Come to the conclusion of our story today from the Bible. The woman's response to what Jesus said, probably with a twinkle in his eye. Her response delighted him because she came back at him. And in one sentence, she seems to sum up the trauma Jesus had gone through in the last few weeks, where his message had been rejected by the children he came to teach. They had rejected the bread he offered, and here she was, eager for the crumbs that fell. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. The woman went on her way rejoicing, for Jesus answered her request. Her daughter was now well again. May you today find answers to your prayers, and thank you for joining me. May God bless you wherever you are and whatever circumstances you find yourself in. My thanks to Andrew Ridgwick for his technical expertise in putting this program together. My final song is one sung by Bette Midler, all about the world we live in. God watches over his world, watches our every move, and he's closer than we think, even though at times we may feel that he is at a distance. Here is a song called From a Distance. Bye for now.
From a distance, the world looks blue and green, and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagle takes to flight. It's the voice of hope, it's the voice of peace, it's the voice of every man. From a distance, we all have enough, and no one is in need. And there are no guns, no bombs, and no disease, no hungry mouths to feed. From a distance, we are instruments marching in a common band, playing songs. They're the songs of every man. God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance.
even though we are at war. From a distance, I just cannot comprehend what all this fire.